We're so glad we can be together. And I'm supposed to talk about trusting God more than your addictions and your lust. Or maybe we could reword that, trusting God with your addictions and your lusts. I'm reminded of the little boy who was praying what is often called the Lord's Prayer, and he got to the end, and as he was praying in Bible class, he said, "Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from email." I've been there, haven't you? Lord, deliver me from all of this email. It's not email, it's deliver us from evil. And when we talk about addiction, that which has taken over our lives, and temptation, we're talking about things that are evil. Anything that takes us away from God. In reality, when we hear the word or think of the word addiction, we may get very myopic, very small in our thinking. Addiction. Oh yeah, drugs. Addiction. Oh yeah, alcohol. Addiction. Oh yeah, sex or pornography. Addiction. Oh yeah, work. But addiction can take on so many different forms. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34. If anyone or any man practices sin, he is the bondservant of sin. Whatever you have in your life that you continue to do has made you a slave to whatever you're continuing to do. And gentlemen, that is an addiction. Galatians chapter 6 says, if any man or anyone be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Overtaken in any trespass. Overtaken. Let me rephrase that word. Taken over. If anyone is taken over by any trespass, any sin, any violation of God's will in my life that I continue to do, can fall under that heading of an addiction. The word that is translated lust is epithumia. It's a combination of two words, thumia, thumos, passion, and epi, over, passion over. If you do a deep dive into the meaning of the word, you'll find the words breathe hard over. Anything that you want, that you want, that you know, that you shouldn't have, but you want it anyway, and you go after it, that's epithumia. That's lust, that's desire, that's addiction. If I'm not careful, it's in my life. It might be something I'm watching on television, I ought not. It might be something I'm reading, I ought not. It might be pictures I'm looking at, I ought not. It might be feelings that I constantly harbor that I ought not. It might be words of criticism that I use that I ought not use. Anything that I ought not be doing, violating God's expressed will in Scripture, that I continue to do, is something that has taken over my life. That's an addiction. That's giving in to desires. I must trust God more than those desires, those addictions. And I must trust my desires and my addictions to God. Now, what I want to do very briefly, is to turn to a passage that deals with this idea of giving God our addictions and our desires. And then we'll turn to another passage and try to put it into practice very quickly in means of application. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want us to begin with verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I've got this covered. No, you don't. No temptation has overtaken you, taken over, that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will with temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to verse 13. First of all, we read about a problem. Then we read about a promise. First, the problem. A general statement is made about the problem, temptation. No temptation has taken over, overtaken you that is not common to man. Temptation, what is it? Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. And the lust when it hath conceived bears sin, and sin when it is full grown brings forth death. First of all, I find in that passage attention. Each man is drawn away, not pushed over. Each man is drawn away, not lifted up. Each man is drawn away, not surprised. Each man is drawn away. The devil gets our attention. Each man is drawn away by his own desires. The devil doesn't get my attention with David's desires. The devil doesn't get David's attention with Dan's desires. The devil gets my attention with what I want, and he knows what I want, and he hits me hard with what I want. Each man is drawn away by his own desires, his own lust, and from getting my attention, the next step is seduction and enticed. This is where the devil wants me to start thinking a little bit more about my desires. I know I ought not do that. I shouldn't be thinking about this. But nobody's going to know. It's in my head anyway. So I'm going to think about it some. He seduces me away from God's desires by getting my attention and getting me to focus on my own desires. Attention, seduction. Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And the desire, when it has conceived, bears sin. Now there's transgression. When I think about it and I act on it, I cross the line and I violate God's will. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That's condemnation or damnation, if you want to be harder about it. So the devil gets my attention. He gets me to think on matters of my desires, my attention, and seduces me away from God to the point I decide I'm going to do what I ought not do. And the end result of that, if I don't change, is I'm going to lose my soul in hell. That's what temptation's all about. Each one is tempted. Now, our passage says, no temptation has overtaken you. There is nothing that you have wanted, nothing that you have done, nothing that you are doing that you ought not do that takes over from whence you can't pull away. You can overcome anything that has overtaken you. Do you believe that? Let me say it again, you must not. You can overcome anything that has overtaken you. There is an answer to addiction and unlawful desires breathing hard over things. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. The word translated is anthropos, humanity. There's nothing that you are going through, no addiction you have that you shouldn't have, no thinking or desires that you're yielding to, that somebody else has not struggled with themselves. Nobody. You just don't understand. No, you don't understand. Everybody understands the concept of addiction because every man in this room, sometime in his life, has allowed sin to dictate and take over. Now from a problem, our passage goes further with a promise. And this is what we need to do with our desires run amok. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God is faithful. A special statement is made about God. He's faithful. You can rely on God. In what way? He will not let you be tempted beyond what your abilities allow. I wish we had the time to get into the temptation and sin process. Very quickly, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us that Satan is the tempter. I read in Matthew chapter 25 of the devil and his angeloi, his messengers. I read in Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and 12 of how we wrestle with the world ruler of darkness and a spiritual host of wickedness, demons. I put it all together, and the devil tempts me by dispatching demons into the unseen realm of providence to craft circumstances and situations that get my attention and lure me away from God. At the same time, Hebrews 1 verse 14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit eternal salvation. And 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21, I think it is, or 22, tells us that angels are placed in submission under Jesus. So you have the devil dispatching demons into the unseen realm of providence to tempt me away from God, and you have Jesus dispatching angels into the unseen realm of providence to serve me as one striving for salvation. There is a war going on, and I'm the prize. But the good news is, I get to choose who wins. And that's what's in the background of this passage. God will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am capable. So the devil launches the demons into the unseen realm of providence to seduce me away from God. And it gets to that point, I can't handle it anymore. And Jesus with his angels in the unseen realm of providence, in ways I can't understand, steps up and says, "That's enough. That's enough. I need to trust God in the process and know God has my back. I need to know that Jesus is on my side." Read Hebrews. He is at God's side, but he's on my side. So trust God with your desires and your addictions. Are you struggling with something? Is it your sorry, bad attitude? I got people in my life and nothing's right. They're going to complain about something all the time. It isn't a beautiful day. You know, we're supposed to have rain today. Aren't we grateful for this rain? Man, I'm tired of this stuff. And they're complaining about something all the time. That's an addiction. So it's not just drugs. It's disposition. Anything that takes over your heart and your life. You let God into your life. Now, I want to close in the next minute and a half with three verses from 1 John. Here are three things to keep in mind if you want to rise above the temptations that you have to face and make good decisions, make better decisions. Three times in the book of 1 John, the Holy Spirit through John says, "I write these things." He tells us why 1 John is in our Bibles. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 4, "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete," or your joy may be complete, some translations might say. What things? I want you to read verses 1 to 3 to establish this first point. You want to overcome your addictions and desires and think the way you should think? Fall in love with Jesus more than yourself. Verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." Now what John really was saying, if you look at the verb tenses, what we have heard, and it's like I can still hear his words ringing in my ear. What we have seen with our eyes, and it's like I can still see him walking on the water and healing the lepers. I can still hear him. I can still see him. That we constantly testify or speak to you. John is known as our Lord's best friend. He was deeply in love with Jesus and described himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And it's with that contextual flow that John says, "I'm writing these things so that your joy may be full." You want to overcome your desires that shouldn't be there and your addictions? Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus would not be pleased if I do this. Fall in love with Jesus. You come down to chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Fall out of love with sin. And in fact, verses 8 through 10 talk about attitudes towards sin. If we say we have no sin, I'm okay. If we say we have not sinned, what I'm doing is okay. Oh, but if we confess our sins, develop the right attitude about sin. Fall in love with Jesus, fall out of love with sin. That's how you overcome addiction and false desires. Last of all, chapter 5, as we close, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." Live for heaven. If that desire, yielding to that desire, will keep you out of heaven, why this side of eternity is it something you want to do? Fall in love with Jesus, fall out of love with sin, and do nothing that would jeopardize your eternity with Jesus throughout eternity. Keep those in mind as you trust God with your addictions, and know He will not let you be tempted above what you're able to bear, which means any temptation you face, you can say no to. And with every temptation, God is saying, "I believe in you." Is His faith worthwhile, or is it betrayed?